Hello, my name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am a trauma support coach and spiritual mentor who works with people from all over the world who are struggling with unresolved wounding. I do this by gently guiding them to healing, peace, and self-love through my one-on-one coaching. In addition to this, I also write a weekly spiritually based blog and I'm the host of Kelly Bramblett's High Vibe podcast, which can be heard on all major streaming platforms. My mission is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a fully certified general life coach, trauma care specialist, law of attraction practitioner, EFT practitioner, and a level 3 Usui Reiki master teacher. My first book, Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love, was released July 1st, 2020, and continues to offer further support for trauma survivors worldwide. You can learn more about my work by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. Hello, 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 and welcome to this High Vibe podcast episode. Today, I have Christy Holt on the show, who is going to be talking with us about her new book and some of her philosophies for getting unstuck. So before I welcome Christy onto the show, I would like to share a little bit about her. Christy Holt is a self-proclaimed happiness hussy coach, podcast host, and author. Christy loves to show people how to get out of survival mode so that they can consciously create the happy life, relationship, and impact they desire. So without any further ado, I am going to go ahead and welcome Christy onto the show. Welcome, 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 Christy, to the show, which has been a long time in the coming. We've actually been trying to get together for, it seems, months now. So I'm really thankful we were finally, everything aligned. Here we are, we're sitting together.
Really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And to get us started, could you just tell us a little bit about your personal story and what brought you to where you are today as a coach, mentor, and author?
Well, it's kind of a long one. It's been a lifelong journey, honestly. And there's so many small pieces that really contribute to the overall puzzle and the overall, you know, direction that got me to where I am today. But I will share a couple of highlights from along the way. So one of the things that really transformed me was actually my divorce. And when I was in my divorce, I was so stuck and I felt so helpless and hopeless. And honestly, like my thoughts were running out of control. I was dealing with this brutal anxiety that just would not shut up. Like it just consumed me. And essentially, like I was from this side, I can say for sure that I was totally trapped in this like suffer fest of my own making. I was trapped in sort of this victim mentality, which is very different, to be very clear, very different from being an actual victim. What I mean is taking your circumstances and, you know, just throwing a good old poor me spin on all the things like us humans can tend to get sucked into. And ultimately, I felt really hopeless and helpless to change anything. So I was stuck in this uncertainty. And I would say that I really valued certainty, which actually was part of my problem, is how drawn I was to having certainty. Because what you don't realize while you're safe and comfortable in your little comfort zone is that all of the exciting opportunities and possibilities, they exist outside of your comfort zone, right? Otherwise you would have them already. And so I feel like there's so many people out there that are staying cozy in their comfort zone and missing out on the most incredible, amazing opportunities. And they're not that far outside of their reach, right? This is the thing, is that some of these things are like just beyond your comfort zone. And that would give you the momentum to keep going. But that certainty, oh my gosh, it just keeps you so tethered to what you know and what is familiar and prevents you from even sometimes seeing the possibilities that lie just beyond. So going through this divorce, honestly, it was like the hardest the hardest thing I've ever done. I waffled with the decision, should I stay? Should I go? What should I do? I had so many things running through my mind about how is he going to respond? Of course, because I'm very focused at this point in my life on what everything outside of me is doing, people are doing, people are saying. And so I was so worried about what was going to happen. Was I going to be okay? And these are very normal human things, right? We have questions. We naturally have questions. But at some point in my journey, after waffling and probably after giving, I don't know, I couldn't count the chances on my hands, for things to improve. I was waiting for circumstances, for other people, for things to be different, and it wasn't happening. And all of a sudden, it kind of dawned on me one day, and it kind of like, came in like a bit of a wrecking ball because it was like, holy shit, like this, the common denominator is me. And initially, I was like, I'm doing this to myself. And that is not a fun realization to come to because you're like, oh my God, what have I been doing? But fear not, because if you do come to this conclusion, the bright side is right on the other side of the coin. And that is that you can use your power to change things because you are the common denominator and you're the one who has that power within to make a difference. So I got unstuck. And instead of, staying in my marriage to quote unquote protect my kids from from the trauma of divorce and a broken family and all of these things that I had imagined in my mind, I realized that I was looking at it completely wrong. And that in fact, if I wanted to get unstuck myself and show my kids the way to live a life that was fulfilling and full of happiness and peace and joy and all things good and love, I needed to go first and I needed to show them the way. Because we all know kids don't really listen. They don't listen to our words, and especially they're not going to listen if our words aren't in integrity with our actions, right? So I really had to step up. And instead of telling them those things that I had hoped for them, I start showing them by going first.
And you mentioned the word unstuck a couple times, which is also the title of your new book. So tell us a little bit, like, what are some of the main messages and themes of your new book?
Well, ultimately, this book came out of a desire to really help women that felt stuck in their comfort zone, like I was at that time, that felt a little helpless. Like maybe I'm going to say they don't really necessarily feel like they're choosing that. I know I sure didn't. But also, sort of having in the back of your mind, like there's something better. I just know there is. And that was me in that situation. I was like, I feel like there's got to be more than this. There's got to be something better out there. And I was like, but fuck if I could find it, right? I was so overwhelmed by all that overthinking and the stress. And I was essentially putting myself into these thought and emotional spirals on a multiple times a day kind of basis. I was literally almost always trapped in one of these thought or emotional spirals. You know the kind. You have one little baby thought, all of a sudden you've got a whole story. It's like novel in your brain about all the things that could go wrong and how terrible you are. Yeah, I suffered from those on a daily basis, and actually even to the point where I was having some physical manifestations that were completely unrelated. No doctor could tell me what was going on. They said I was fine. It was those kind of things that were popping up, and I was like, but that's weird. So my stress was actually physically manifesting, and I still wasn't putting it together. And I was kind of stuck in this, well, I was stuck in just a momitis, which is what I refer to when you're a mom and you're so focused on your family that you don't remember who you are anymore. Your identity becomes all consumed by the giving and the desire that maybe, you want to give your kids the best possible life, which I think most parents really ultimately have that vision for their kids to have a really good life. And so I was just really like, oh God, I was so in my head. I was so stuck in my head. And when you're stuck in your head, like you feel like you can't change it. It doesn't feel like it's a choice or an option. So I remember seeing other people saying things that were encouraging and motivating, inspiring, and I was like, they don't know, right? They got no idea. Like, who clearly they have not seen my circumstances. And I have now heard this a lot from the flip side, which is very interesting because That it's true. They haven't seen your circumstances. But the bigger truth that I realize is I wasn't sharing my circumstances with very many people. So of course they couldn't see them or completely understand. Besides that, we're not meant to understand everything anyways. We all as humans have our own spin on things. How could we not? Every single moment of our lives leads up to this moment and gives us the understanding that we currently have, which, ultimately affects our brain filter and our perception of the current reality, right? So two people will experience the same reality, can be very, very different experience of that reality. And so we ultimately cannot know what another person is going through. So, this time I just was really stuck in sort of like this analysis paralysis. There's a lot of chatter. There was a lot of repetitive like loops and patterns. And I was like, oh my gosh, like Groundhog Day, right? Every morning, oh God, here we go again, right? Like, I gotta do these things. Zombie through the day. Oh God, thank God, just crash at night because it was just overwhelming. And ultimately, I wanted to, like, I knew there was something more. I knew that life was too short to be having issues, interpersonal issues, conflict in my relationship, having these struggles, having my mind just going crazy all the time. And I really struggled a lot at this time with perfectionism and people pleasing and shoulding all over myself, honestly, trying to live up to the expectations of everyone else. And one of the things that I really realized as I began this sort of journey of, I'll say, self-discovery, discovering all of the inner wisdom and power that I had within myself, it really re required me to stop looking for shit outside of myself. I realized that stuff is not out there. What I actually needed was already within me. And so ultimately, my book is geared towards people who are feeling stuck, who are feeling like maybe they don't have a choice. They just can't seem to get out of that chatter. And oftentimes I feel like they're, because I was, and because I know some of people I know have also been there, really over-identified with the voice in the head, right? And so when that negative chatter is going on, you just think like, oh, the saying, we're our own worst inner critic, right? Our own worst critic. The truth is that voice is not you anyways. And so part of what I share in my book is stepping into the observer role because that was huge for me. And, disassociating myself, disidentifying myself, who I truly am from those thought and emotional spirals was a major, major game changer for me. And it really allowed me to take control of the narrative inside my mind because I realized, oh, I don't have to take in all of those things and agree with that just because the voice is running on loop. And so that really shifted things. Ultimately, the book is a combination of some key perspective shifts, such as that one, and as well as just how to human in a basic way, because I feel like with society's conditioning and the world and technology, we have lost the memo in a few areas. And so when we can just remember who we truly are, it just really empowers us to take the actions that align with who we truly are. And the second piece of the book is what I call the spiral stopper method. And ultimately, this is about shutting down those thought and emotional spirals so that we can avoid going into survival reaction mode or living on autopilot, which let's connect that back. That autopilot is when you think, I don't have a choice. Things just are the way they are. This is just the way I am. That kind of thinking where you don't see possible possibilities that are in fact right in front of you. So if that's you, you may be living on autopilot. And the truth is you can actually fairly quickly and easily move out of this with a few simple perspective shifts. And then ultimately the spiral stopper method is about developing a toolbox because we're complex as humans, and there isn't a one size fits all. There isn't one modality or one solution or one action that is going to be the cure all. Maybe some people have their favorites, but those things, lots of people love journaling or meditating, but hey, I tell you what, that's going to be hard to do if you're getting triggered in the grocery store lineup. So it's important to have a toolbox of strategies that you can draw on. And when you're well resourced, then you can navigate life's challenges with much more ease and grace.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, something that I was actually just having a conversation about, what that you kind of like reminded me of when we're talking about how we're looking outwards, we're looking outside of ourselves for things. I really feel like your book is perfect timing because the collective, because of all the things that have happened over the last 2 years, we have been so outwardly focused and there's so much chatter in the collective. And no matter where your beliefs fall on all of these things that have happened since 2020, you can find an expert who's fully qualified, you know, not some quack out there, experts. You can find two of them with completely opposing
yep.
opinions. And because so many of us had been collectively and have been collectively looking outwards, I feel like it's really created a disconnect between that inner wisdom because there was a lot of fear. And fear is the ultimate catalyst for disconnection with ourself, right? So then yes. we started looking to doctors, to experts. What do we do? What are the answers? Are we safe? Are we not safe? All of these things. But I think in doing that collectively, it shut so many people down on yeah. an individual level, you know? And so I think that book, your book, is in perfect timing because I think so many people are feeling that disconnect and maybe don't even recognize it consciously, which is why I say feeling it. It's that feeling, like you say, something's off or I'm stuck. But you can't really pinpoint why. I pretty much agree with every single thing you said. And I think this book is going to be fabulous. It's already, I'm seeing getting great reviews. It's already yeah. been helping a lot of people. And I can definitely see why in hearing you talk about it. So that's beautiful. And thank you for, you know, pouring your heart and soul into this and being so passionate about it and, you know, doing your part for the collective. That's beautiful in itself.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately I couldn't not share what I learned because it was so transformative for me, like literally from the inside out, I was able to transform my entire life. And I do share about this and actually have a free chapter of my book available. So that's available. If anybody wants to check that out and see if it's for them, the free chapter will walk you through a bit of a scenario to find out, am I stuck? You know, by according to my definition of the book, is this going to be a useful resource for you? So that free chapter might be really helpful in identifying, oh, this might be the next resource for me. But ultimately, I also share my story in there. And what I don't share a whole lot about, not for any particular reason, but because it's honestly the next topic of my next book, which is about relationship, is that by going through all of this and by learning and gathering these tools and resources for myself, I have literally changed my entire world in the last 5 years, right? I have the most amazing, loving partner. We met about a hot minute after I was apart from my ex, honestly, and I was absolutely not looking for anybody. But I had created this list a couple of years before that as to what I really truly felt I deserved and wanted in a relationship. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't easy to come up with this list from where I was at when I wrote it. I had the help of a therapist at the time and a coach. And I developed this list of how I would love to feel in a romantic relationship, how I would love to feel, you know, as a human connecting with another human. And so it's pretty funny that this list is exactly the person that I ended up meeting. And anyways, to say long story short, it's been 5 of the best years of my life. He is my best friend, my biggest cheerleader, and I am grateful for him every single day. And again, a little inspo for the next book, which is going to really dive deeper into relationships, because this is such a big lesson that I learned. And you know, like I said, going through divorce is like, it's one of the hardest things that I have ever done, but I also can recognize now that that was one of the areas that I needed to go through in order to grow the way that I have. And so, yes, it was messy. It was ugly. It was unpleasant, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but at the same time, I would not turn back time for anything because I wouldn't be where I am right now without having gone through all of that. So, and also really excited to be working on my next project, which is going to be about relationships. Tiny spoiler, because I think this will connect with everything I've said thus far. the most important relationship you have that you have is with yourself. And so if you don't have that solid foundation, you are going to struggle in interpersonal relationships, and you're going to struggle in your relationship with your business. You are going to struggle in other relationships, like to food or your body, all of these things you have relationships with. But that foundational relationship with self is an absolute game changer. And so that is going to be lots of what I'm going to be sharing in my next book. But for now, I wanted to just help people get a little bit more aware of what's possible for them. That was the goal of the first book.
Love it. I saw something the other day that said, the love story has always been between you and you. And I was like, yes, like that is it. It's so funny you talk about making a list. I did the same thing. I didn't go through a divorce, but I went through an extremely painful separation from my fiance at the time. This happened a couple of years ago, and it floored me. And I stayed single for a while after that because of a lot of the things you're talking about. I said, you know what? I've always had a pattern. My pattern has been, as soon as one relationship ends, I'm on dating sites where I already had backups or whatever. And I said, obviously, this is my invitation to strengthen my relationship with myself. This is my invitation to actually sit with myself without any distractions. And I spent 2 years in that space. And about 6 months before me and my girlfriend got together, I started feeling ready. It was like, okay, I've done the work. I've sat with it. I resisted that urge to jump back into another relationship just to have the comfort of having someone. And, you know, I felt like I was in a good place. And I sat down and I wrote out my list. And as these things work and as the universe works, within 6 months of writing my list, I all of a sudden had this connection with a woman who I've known my whole life. It's funny enough, we dated when we were kids, 15 and 16 years old, and we had kept in touch all these years, but timing just was never right. I was with someone, she was with someone through the years. And all of a sudden here, we both find ourselves single and we're talking a lot more. And it's so crazy because I can open the page that I wrote that list on and I could go through with a pen and check.
Yeah.
Check. Yeah. Every single thing I put on that list was answered through the universe. And I think it's because I was ready. When we ask, we really do receive. I really believe that, especially if we're asking from a place of alignment, then it's
absolutely,
it has to come, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because I was adamantly not looking for a relationship. I was fresh out of divorce. Literally, I met my partner the weekend that my house finally sold with my ex, which was kind of that last piece before we could really start to move on with our lives. Like, things were in process. We were sharing residence for about a year while being separated. And I'm telling you, it was not a good time in any way, shape, or form. I had some very dark times. I sat in my van in the, just anywhere in the grocery store parking lot, anywhere that just wasn't home, just to and would just cry. Like, I didn't know what the hell was happening, but I had this sense in me that there was something better coming. And I too had a pattern. I've basically been in 3 long-term relationships in my adult life, and there was not a lot of space in between any of them. And so when I left this one, I was like, I'm going to take in some space. I'm not jumping in. This has been my pattern and I don't want to do that. I really just want to be good with me. And I really want to just stand on my own 2 feet, right? And explore the world just for me. I don't want to have to consider someone else's needs at all. I wanted to find out who I was again, which is really interesting because despite all of this desire to be single for a while, I met my current partner while running a marathon. I wasn't looking, and I explicitly told him, I don't even want a relationship. Like, I'm good to hang out. Like, let's hang out. Like, let's get to know each other. But I was like, I have this pattern and I don't want to repeat it. But the awareness of the pattern actually helped me to shift out of that pattern. And I was able to see much more clearly the things that I wanted, what I didn't want, the things that were working for me and in alignment for me, and the things that were definitely not. And so that gave me this ability to really clearly communicate with him. And we had some tough conversations very early on because I'm fresh out of a really unhealthy relationship, and my tolerance is zero for any kind of nonsense at this point. And he just met every one of those things with such love and such space and such acceptance. I felt like I could truly be myself. And so that even allowed me to open up even more, get to know myself even more within the context of the relationship. And it was actually a beautiful thing. But had it not been that way, it would have been a hell no, because I also dated a couple of other people that were, I was like, oh, it just became so clear what was and wasn't for me, that it made decision making so much easier. And honestly, if we did this work before dating, right, if we really learned who we are and what works for us and what we want in a relationship, it's not about what we can get. That's another thing I think that people are very confused about. They think, oh, I'm just going to go find someone to complete me, to fill in, my weaknesses or whatever else. And I guess that's one way of looking at it. But I find that if you both come to the relationship as whole humans, that everything is magical. And instead of just trying to make it work, it works on its own. It feels easy. It flows. Like, we don't fight. We haven't had a fight. Like I said, we've had some tough conversations, but we have communication skills, and we have this foundation of we're whole. I don't need someone to validate me. So I can show up, I can use my voice, I can express myself, ask for what I need. And honestly, it's just magical when two people come together that way.
I'm not sure who said this, but I heard this said in talking about relationships, but it really did resonate in that we shouldn't be seeking somebody else to, as you say, complete us. We need to create our own happiness and then show up to that relationship, as you say, as a whole person within our own happiness. And then we complement each other rather than, and we grow and we build rather than you complete me and you're my other half and all these common terms that we hear that, in my opinion, are pretty unhealthy because nobody should
Totally.
complete you. Nobody
No.
should be your better half or other half. Like, you are a whole person. And
Yeah.
it's amazing when you meet someone else who's in that same space and you can build and create so many amazing things from that space.
And totally what the shift ought to be in this look for someone who completes you bullshit is look for someone who completely accepts you for you, exactly as you are, an imperfect human with flaws, perceived flaws. Sometimes we think our flaws are flaws and they're actually superpowers, but I don't want to get off on a tangent there. Just finding someone who accepts and loves you as you are is a complete game changer, because I think we all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. We want to be seen for who we truly are. Yet the barrier to being seen is that we're often not showing up authentically because we've been, taught by past experiences that if we are who we are, we might not be liked, we might not be accepted, we might end up hurt, all of these things. So we hold back, right? And we often show up in a way that we think the other person would like us to show up. First of all, we don't know. We're guessing what we think that they would like. And then there what I found, because this is totally me in my past relationship, I was so in this people-pleasing mode that I was not being authentically myself. And the more that I tried to be what I thought I was supposed to be, again, living by these expectations, trying to, oh my God, fit in to all the good girl conditioning that we've been taught our entire lives. And the chasm between me and this version of me that I was having to show up as every day kept growing. And I was like, so lost, because I was like, oh, I don't even know who that was anymore. Like, she's so far out of the loop, out of the mix, that I didn't remember who I was. And there was no going back anyways. So, like, that's not a thing that we can do, is we're always growing and moving forward. So, sometimes we can really get stuck in that, oh, if only I could go back to, how I looked or how I felt or whatever in the past. But that's not going to get you any further forward either, right? We're always moving towards something, and if we can let go of the thing we're moving away from, we're going to get to that thing we're moving towards so much quicker.
And I feel like we've talked a lot about this, but I am going to just kind of ask specifically. I feel like we've kind of skirted around this question just in the things that have naturally come up between us in our discussion today. But what is your philosophy from going from surviving to thriving?
I think if I had to choose a philosophy, I would just, I like generally just say, like, love is my religion. And ultimately, my philosophy is to choose love. Whenever we're struggling, what we need is more love, not less. Matt Kahn, thank you. Right. We get sucked into this idea, and I couldn't pinpoint where it comes from, but it's from the collective, from the world, from religion, that we can guilt and shame ourselves into positive action. And somehow we will repeat this pattern of trying. We're like, if I just feel myself into action, that's going to work, and I'm going to have positive change. But the truth is that doesn't work. And actually the catalyst is self-compassion and love and personal acceptance of where you're at. We spend so much time arguing against reality, arguing for our stories. And if we can let go of fighting against the shoulds and the being right and the fitting in, we can actually find the true freedom that we've been looking for. All of the rest of it is an illusion. We've been chasing this ideal of, you know, perfection or, you know, success. And it's usually someone else's definition. Mm-hmm. And so we can really get clarity on that, choose those things with love. We will find the clarity that we're looking for, and we can start moving towards the things that we actually want instead of, I don't know, following willy-nilly all over what the world seems to be telling us the next best thing is. Yeah. It's all a distraction, right? Anyways, choose love. That would be kind of the thing.
When we are able to have that radical self-acceptance, radical self-compassion, looking at the things that make us less than perfect are not so hard to look at, because we have this acceptance. We're human. I'm not supposed to be perfect. I'm supposed to have these quote unquote imperfections. They're actually, as you say, gifts. They're building blocks. They're steps towards understanding ourselves better, steps towards understanding where we want to go, how we want to develop, where we want to grow. And guaranteed, and this is the thing, once you tackle one set of perceived imperfections or whatever through your shadow work processes or whatever you're doing, there's new stuff, because we peel away a layer and there's new stuff. And so you've got to have love along the way. You have to have love. There's no other way. And when you're talking about being stuck and getting unstuck, again, you hit the nail on the head, because nothing will keep you stuck more than, as you say, trying to guilt or shame yourself. And we see it all the time, especially, you know, we see it very publicly with like weight loss goals or, or these things like, oh, I ate this piece of cake. Guilt, 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 shame, shame, shame. Get over it. If you're going to have the cake, this is what one of my clients said, who's now an amazing wellness coach in one of our interviews. If you're going to have the cake, be happy about having the cake. Enjoy the moment you're eating the cake, and don't think another thing about it. You know, just allow yourself the grace of being a human being without shaming and guilting yourself.
And I feel like actually undermine yourself big time and your own self-trust by launching yourself into this like guilt and shame pattern on the back end, right? Like, there is nothing wrong with enjoying a piece of cake, but also we have this conditioning where like, we aren't really supposed to have that much pleasure, because if we have too much pleasure as a good girl, and I don't just mean sexual pleasure, but of course that is absolutely included in this category. But there's this like mechanism of like, oh, that's too much. That's really good. I'm just going to scale it back, because like it's unfamiliar. And also there's just this idea, like life is meant to be hard. Like, and so we're so many people operating, and I used to be one of them, like, oh, like life is just hard. Like life is just full of struggle and pain. And that's just the way it is. It's not. I tell you what, from this vantage point that I can see now, that is not the truth. It may be the truth that you feel right now, but it's not the truth you need to cling to, because you actually have freedom and power and peace at your fingertips. I mean, literally within your fingertips, probably, because in your being, you have the power to change all of that. And although it may not feel like you have a choice, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it just might require that you get the right support or mentorship or help to move you through that. You need to just build up the toolbox, right? Like any habit, if you want to shift your habit of, you know, shit talking yourself into, you know, being your own inner cheerleader or coach or uplifter, you can do that. It's just a habit like any other. And like building muscle at the gym, you can build this muscle of talking nicely to yourself, having self-compassion, giving yourself grace and acceptance. And I'll tell you what, give it a try. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. Go try it on and see if encouraging yourself works a little bit better. I mean, what would you say to your best friend who is in the same circumstance? Try saying that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody out there is just, I feel like my partner and I were talking about this because we like to have this walk and talk and talk about these interesting things. And I'm always like just so fascinated by humans in general and how we operate, how absolutely fucking magical and miraculous this whole meat suit and mind and this mind, body, soul connection thing is. But I think that when people don't quite see that the change is possible, you know, they're not going to take the action. So the first step truly is believing that it can make a difference for you and then taking some action. And I think there was something where I was going to say on this, but like squirrel slippery human mind situation, I might have to circle back because I had something really good to go behind this. But ultimately, you know, when we aren't seeing the big picture, we can't align with the big picture. And often it's just a tiny tweak that's going to actually set off this huge snowball effect, right? And so instead of spiraling downward into a downward, negative, crappy, sick, suffering, pain kind of spiral, anxious, fearful, all of those things, you can start to spiral upwards in a spiral of love and peace and joy and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the catalyst,
mm-hmm.
even if you don't think that you are.
Yeah. And I feel like when you are holding that focus and intention and being intentional about it, that even when life does present us with annoyances or hardship or even heartbreak or loss, because there is no doubt contrast in this experience. But as you say, you have the tools, and so it's not going to send you on that downward spiral. You know what you need to do to feel better. You know what you need to do to comfort yourself. You know what you most need because you have that toolbox, because your focus is on feeling good. And that doesn't mean we bypass and say, I'm only going to have positive thoughts when inside we're really hurting, because if you don't feel it, the words don't matter. But what it does mean is that you can accept yourself, as you say, where you're at. You can accept yourself for what you're feeling, and then you can make intentional choices to keep you in a higher frequency space, or to get you back to a higher frequency space, or to help comfort you through whatever you're going through.
And that's ultimately like what the goal of the spiral stopper method is to create that space, right? Mm-hmm. To shut down all of the spirally stuff, to create space from which you can intentionally move. Right? So this is out of survival, out of reaction, and into conscious, aware, intentional action, response, right? Versus reaction. And I know what I was going to say before. And it's just this idea that I think a lot of us have over-identified with the voice in our head. And I think that is why a lot of us don't see the possibilities and opportunities, because that voice in our head, I'll tell you, it's an asshole. Okay. It's going to tell you the worst case. It's going to tell you how bad you are, how horrible you are. This is not your voice. Okay. So we are not our own worst critic. That voice isn't ours. Right. And so if we see this voice, hear this voice inside, I just want people to recognize that's not you. That's not the real you. That's chatter going by, but you are actually able to disconnect from that. As like I said earlier, stepping into the observer role, finding that disconnection will actually lend itself to you becoming more connected within yourself, mind, body, and soul, and bringing those pieces back into coherence with one another. And a lot of the suffering in the world that we're experiencing is coming from separation within ourselves, right? When we are not coming to circumstances as a whole, mind, body, soul connected together, we are often projecting this separation in the world. It creates divisiveness. It creates us versus them thinking. It is a survival mechanism. All of that is survival based. It's trauma based. It's this need to make another person wrong so that I can feel more right, or make another person bad so that I can feel more good. All good and bad are really just judgments, right? So if we can really release all of those judgments, come to a space of self-compassion, self-love, self-acceptance, and be like, oh, hey, human, you are complex and you can feel a wide range of emotions at the same time. None of it makes you bad, right? And really disconnect that over-identification with the thinking and the emotions, and really just stand in our power, create that space. And then move with, intention, move in aligned ways that are going to take you towards the life that you truly want. Because the life you truly want, it wants you too. It's waiting for you to come and claim it.
That's really like the cornerstone to all shadow work. We hear so much about shadow work, and I feel like it's so overcomplicated, and there's a lot of like wild ideas about what actual shadow work is. But really, it's as simple as what you're saying, becoming the observer and observing with love and acceptance, meaning even if that voice, which is the ego, shows up, who's trying to keep you safe, who's trying to keep you small, you can still send love to that part of you and just say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to choose a more supportive thought. But I think that that's basically the most simplified version of shadow work right there. And it's not complicated. And it really is just observing with curiosity and not judgment. Because that's how you're going to be able to hear the subconscious narratives that we don't even realize that are happening. It's really interesting when you realize that everything that's happening in your life is being dictated by thoughts that you don't even know that you're having. So when
Through
you,
your energy.
because you're generating this energy through these subconscious thoughts, and when you take that pause and you start observing, I think a lot of us who have been on this journey, it's quite shocking to hear what you didn't realize you were thinking. So, can you tell my listeners a little bit more about your work as a coach, and also anyone who might want to work with you, or anyone who's sitting here listening to you, because you are so inspiring. So I'm certain that this conversation is definitely going to be inspiring others. Where can my listeners go if they're like, I need to work with this person, I need to get this book, I need to be in her energy for a little while? Where are the best places?
Well, honestly, you can find all the links to all of the things at my main website, which is coachchristyholt.com. And on that page, I've of course got all my socials. I mostly hang out on Facebook. I love first of all, I'm a bit wordy as a writer. This may come as no surprise. And I dislike the limits on how much I can write on the other platforms. So I really love expressing myself through written word on Facebook. But I hang out on the other things, and I create video content and stuff too. So lots of little tidbits and perspective shifts. I think that, most people find kind of helpful along their journey. As well as on the website, you can find the link to buy my book on Amazon. And as well, you can find all the information around my podcast, which is called Create Your Happy. And so that is another really great resource to dive into some of these topics a little bit more deeply. And of course, I do tailored one-to-one coaching. My program is called Create Your Happy. It is by application only. So if you are interested in getting some one-to-one support to just make the journey a little bit easier. Like, honestly, it took me way too long. Like, and if you don't want it to take nearly that long, like I'm gonna say probably a good decade or more to start putting together the pieces that were required in order for me to really make those shifts. So if you're kind of itching to go and you're ready to get unstuck right now, I would love to connect with you. Ultimately, I would possibly recommend my book first as a good launch pad. I have a course as well. Just depending where you're on your journey, I love to meet my clients where they're at right now. And just really honestly, I just want to give them a big old hug and embrace them, all of the bits, and remind you are light and you are dark. You are good and you are bad. You are all of the different polarities and everything in between. It is all included in your amazing. In your amazing soul, all of it exists for you. And I just want to help as many people as possible to unlock that awareness, because it really will change potentially your entire life if you want it to.
Love, love, love this conversation. And I feel like you've already shared so many juicy bits of wisdom for us. But I always like to ask my guest in closing, to leave us just with one piece of imparting wisdom or imparting that you can give to us.
Well, one thing that I really love to share, it's just a very simple thing, and it will hopefully wrap this whole conversation up in a nice little bow. And it's just this reminder that you're not broken, you're human. And so embracing all of your humanity with love is going to be an absolute game changer. And I think that the medical industry in general has given us a warped idea of, well, it's not warped. It's just that we use words that have different meanings in different places, I think. And so when we think about the medical way of looking at healing, we're often looking at healing symptoms, or you know, it's more of like a back-end solution. And the way I look at healing as far as a human goes, I think it's more of a going within and a more a stripping away and becoming whole. So to me, it's not healing in like the sense of the medical healing. So like I say, we're not broken. We're just humans. And as long as we continue to move towards discovering that wholeness within, the more we are going to see our worlds change around us. And I'm really excited because I'm on a mission to help, you know, contribute to changing the world. That is what I was put here for. That is my purpose. That is my vision. And I know that the only way to do that is from the inside out and starts with love. So.
Well, again, thank you. This has been a super inspiring conversation. And like I said earlier, I know this is going to help a lot of people. So thank you for sharing your personal story, your wisdom with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.